it away, give it away, give it away now. All I want to do is zoom, a zoom, 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 and a boom, boom. And hello, is it ransomware you're looking for? These stories and much more on today's episode of MSP Dispatch.
This episode is presented by the Salty Soul Foundation. Since 2017, Salty Soul has removed over 20,000 pounds of trash in Florida and California. Visit saltysoulfoundation.org to support this organization via direct donation or purchase of their merchandise.
Good morning and welcome to the September 16th, 2022 episode of MSP Dispatch, your source for news, community events, and commentary in the MSP channel. I'm Ray Rossini, joined as always by my co-host, Mr. Tony Francisco. How you doing, Tony?
Excellent, brother. Excellent. Crazy week. We missed you. I missed you. And I say that in the most inappropriate way possible. But, you know, we're here with another infectious episode of the MSP Dispatch. Why don't you kick it off?
I missed you too, bro. I'm glad to have you back from DattoCon. Our actual opening banter is a little bit appropriate. Have you heard the kerfuffle going on with this recent chess championship and the possible cheating?
No.
So the story goes, and I'll do my absolute best to be delicate on this, but 19-year-old Hans Niemann shocked the chess world when he beat Magnus Carlsen. However, there was some kerfuffle around this. Apparently, the speculation is that somebody in the audience was...
Wait, does that article say anal beads? I just want to make sure I'm seeing this correctly. Sorry, for everyone who's just listening, I just caught your attention because I believe I'm seeing what says in capitals in bold, anal beads, Grandmaster furiously anal beads. That's all. I'm sorry. I'm
seeing what everyone's...
I am saying what everyone else is thinking right now. So continue,
yes,
Ray.
Yes. I apologize. For those watching this instead of listening to it, that's exactly what happened. So apparently he had a cohort, supposedly, not proven, in the audience that was looking at the chess match, feeding the current plays into AI, an AI-based chess program, and then feeding back to him what the next move should be via remotely controlled vibrating anal beads. And that was his cue of what moves to make.
What is happening? We don't even need a show of anything else right now. We can just talk about this. There's so much.
You know what? I think the best thing we could do is get into the news, man.
Let's get into the news.
In our top story, Patagonia CEO gives away $3 billion company. As reported by Sarah George on EDIE.net, Patagonia, an outdoor brand, announced plans to give away all of its non-reinvested profits to environmental causes. It created two new entities as stockholders, the Patagonia Purpose Trust and the Holdfast Collective. The trust will hold all voting stocks, and those overseeing it will vote to ensure all the company's actions align with its commitments to the environment. The collective holds non-voting stock and will funnel all non-reinvested profits raised by the business into social and environmental projects. According to a member of Patagonia's board, Dr. Ayanna Elizabeth Johnson, companies cannot continue with the current economic model unless the climate and nature crises are to be solved and social issues tackled. She has challenged other businesses to provide funding to solve humanity's most pressing challenges instead of providing wealth to its shareholders. Now, Tony, this isn't normally a story we would cover. It's lacking a specific MSP focus, who is our core audience. However, we are talking about big businesses reinvesting into their own supply chain, right? Patagonia is an outdoor clothing company. If the outdoors are f***ed, for lack of a better word, there is no outdoor clothing to be had. So, you know, I think the takeaway for the business side is MSPs can protect their ecosystem, their supply chain, and about, you know, maybe consider investing their own businesses into doing that. Have you seen examples of this in your own, you just got back from DC with thousands of MSPs. Have you ever seen an example of this in the wild?
Well, Ray, I'm going to take a different angle from this, because this could not be a better example at a larger scale of a company reshoring their focus and their effort. So let's be very blunt about this. Every single person out there who has started a company, wants to start a company, is eventually going to imagine thinking about starting a company. The reason that they're doing this is so they could have A, some type of revenue stream, some type of monetary wealth and value, and B, some level of control and influence. And if you have that level of control and influence and money, think about all the amazing things that you can do with that and how you're going to change the world. This is what you're going to do. Eventually, you get so caught up in the white noise and the minutiae that you forget about those lofty goals of changing the world, and you're just trying to survive day to day. This is a clear case of somebody reshoring their efforts, pulling it back into, this is what we started this for. This is one of the most philanthropic efforts that I've ever seen. They're understanding the entanglement between the day-to-day chaos that we all live and everything around us, and how what they're gonna do to for the betterment of everything. And by everything, I mean the world. I don't know what impact this is going to be. Is this going to be a keystone to an avalanche of activity from others doing something similar? But I haven't seen anything at this scale. So I've taken it probably at a totally different angle, but I think I'm connecting the dots between what everyone starts a company for and what this ended up being, which is just a dream. Now, the result of this, of course, are to be determined. What are your thoughts, Ray?
So since you didn't do it, I'm going to answer my own question. So if anybody, one of the people I like to learn about how previous business people, created their businesses and, learn from them. So Walt Disney is one of my favorite people to read all the stories about. And one of the things he was famous for is he owned the whole supply chain. If he needed clothing, he bought the company and did the clothing in house. His Imagineers are world renowned and basically legends at this point. If he wanted to create movies, he created the movie house. This was not he owned the whole ecosystem. And while I'm not saying, the MSP should create their own security awareness tool and should create their own, automation platform, I'm saying it does make sense for the MSPs to start investing in the supply chain that makes them profitable, to protect the wealth that you and I both agree they're trying to create by running this business. So that's all the time we have for this. If you have any comments, if you have any examples out in the public, hit us up in the comments, hit us up in the normal channels, and we will be sure to comment on it in a future story. But next, Tony, my mic may be muted.
Love outages. They hurt. A story by David Harris in CRN.com talks about Zoom having an outage that hits tens of thousands of users. Zoom video communications suffered a brief major outage on Thursday, affecting tens of thousands of users. Down Detector reported that the outage began at around 10:30 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, with more than 34,000 reports of outages as of 11:11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. The outage tracking website showed where outages were reported around the U.S. in Boston, New York City, Washington, D.C., and San Francisco. But by 11:37 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, Zoom displayed a message on its service status page saying, quote, "We have resolved the issue causing users to be unable to start and join Zoom meetings. We will continue to monitor and provide updates as we have them." Tweets varied from furious to happy about the pause to a total shutdown of the events due to the brief outage, but obvious frustrations were apparent. Ray, I have so many questions for you on this, because I love something that someone is so passionate about, where you find people that are equally passionate about the opposing side, because the question is, what is right? Does this mean that we are too reliant on a particular technology? Or, frankly, is this a sign that maybe you're just having, and I think the Latin phrase is, you ready, Phil? Are we just having too many fucking meetings? I mean,
I love, don't get me wrong, I love being out in the public. I love talking to MSPs. I love talking to vendors. I love learning about new stuff. Anybody that's tried to schedule time with me knows that my days are insanely scheduled, insanely packed. I'm not going to lie. Some of the times where like somebody cancels an appointment or the platform is not working and we have to cancel a meeting, I'm okay with it. Like you always get that, I got some breathing room for a little bit. And it's self-inflicted. I mean, there's been plenty of studies talking about Zoom fatigue and online meeting fatigue. And I do feel we're more quick today, post-COVID, to do online meetings, to rush to schedule an online meeting with somebody than we would have done in person before. It is far too much too easier now to just say, let's jump on a meeting and tie up 30 minutes of time. With that said, you know, there are many businesses, myself included, that do need these platforms to function. We do need to, you know, run online meetings. There's an element of communication, collaboration required to get business done. In that case, every MSP out there should know the term backup and disaster recovery. That includes having a failover plan, right? If Zoom's not available, in our case, we use Teams. If Teams is not available, Slack has video components. There's Google Meet you can use. You can do whatever you want. You keep on running. When I see people talk about there's an outage and it affects their entire business, means they probably didn't have an MSP that had that conversation with them. And that might be an idea for MSPs to talk about with potential clients. Hey, have you thought about how you collaborate and what happens when that's not available? What's the backup plan? We can help you with this. I don't know. What do you say, Tony?
I like that. I think that, the reliability on a specific technology is paramount. And the reality is it's grain by grain of sand and it's eroding and you don't realize until you realize it. And at some point when you do realize it, then you tend to make a knee-jerk reaction and less of a strategy. And your strategy, as you start to focus on it again, is a collection of knee-jerk reactions, which is not a good strategy, by the way. And this may be that breath of fresh air if you're overscheduled, but this also may be a sign that maybe you should look at an alternate. In the event that this goes down, if it's something so important, this is how our alternate meeting process is going to take place. But being reliant on something is huge. And if you're reliant on, anything and it goes down, that is horrible. But there are things that bring it down, unfortunately, all the time. Ray, talk about the next story and what's happening there.
In our third top story, Lauren's ransomware leverages vulnerable VoIP, as reported by Elizabeth Montalbano on darkreading.com. According to researchers from Arctic Wolf Labs, the Lawrence ransomware group exploited a vulnerability tracked as CVE-2022-29499 in Mitel MyVoice VoIP appliances to breach corporate phone systems. The gang exploited the flaw in remote code execution, RCE, affecting the Mitel service appliance component of MyVoice Connect and deployed Chisel, a tool useful for passing through firewalls to get into the victim's network. The actors then waited a month after breaching the corporate network before conducting more ransomware activity. They obtained two privileged admin accounts and one with domain admin privileges to move through the network's environment via RDP, remote desktop protocol. The actors then exfiltrated data using FileZilla before encrypting them. Arctic Wolf Lab researchers also wrote that the tactics used in the attacks show that the threat actors are now using lesser known or monitored assets to access and avoid detection. And this is because organizations tend to focus more on monitoring critical assets, such as domain controllers and web servers, and leave out VoIP and IoT devices. The bug was discovered in April and fully patched in July. Tony, being a VoIP vendor, I absolutely can attest to, you know, it is rare when we have an MSP ask, how do we monitor these devices? I've gone into plenty of installs where I've, you know, back in my own tech days where, you know, I go touch a Cisco queue system or networking equipment and it just wasn't paid attention to, it wasn't monitored. Or that Nest, right? Didn't you just rip out like 20 Hikvision cameras?
First off, it was 18 and I have no idea what you're talking about.
But that's the point, right? Like you have these VLAN off, and Tony, you're a good tech guy. I have every confidence in you. Were you updating firmware on those devices?
Believe it or not, I was. I that is the one thing that I was doing. But what I was doing, but I was doing it in a different way. I would isolate one in a separate VLAN, update the firmware, and see if there was any delta in the traffic, if anything suddenly went to China. I'm not joking. That's how paranoid I was.
Okay, so you took this to, like, third grade science class.
Luck favors the prepared. That's the rule of thumb that I have, and I try to be as lucky as possible.
I want to see your trifold cardboard. I want to see your volcano.
Yeah, exactly. So it's actually funny. So in the VoIP industry, you have a total new layer of complications because everything's in real time. There's no, like in the email back, I should probably never mention this, but you know, there was blips for 10 seconds and we're like, oh, no one would notice it's email. You know, it's 10 seconds. And especially when there's a 7-minute delay in Google sometimes or in Gmail. So the point I'm trying to make is that I would hack a VoIP telco, specifically Polycom devices that were not updated, and Astra devices. And I could send that through a PDF resume, typically, that says, hey, review, I think I've talked to you about this. And then I could map out an entire internal infrastructure by nesting in one of those devices and reverse SSH in, and then basically have a home. The fact that they came in, did you say it was 4 months later?
Yeah, four months.
No one is talking about that. No one. That's the way hacking is done, people. It's not, hey, I come in and then I beat things up until I get caught. They are nesting in multiple locations for months and months, if not a year or more. Then they are doing surgically precise attacks based on what they've monitored. They've created MOs of every single profile in there, and then they are making their moves. I am fascinated by this article because I think it has ramifications. It is the tip of the iceberg, and if I can't imagine a better metaphor. We need to really start reviewing the hacking profile of today versus what we thought it was 10 years ago.
I wasn't paying attention. I was updating the 14 remotely controlled lighting fixtures that are all Wi-Fi connected in this room. So,
I'm sorry, I didn't hear you. I was hacking some room with 14 lighting fixtures.
In all seriousness, I do have these VLAN off too. And yes, I can hear Slago already. VLANs are not security. I agree with you, but. Yes. Anyway, but MSPs help us out. I mean, how are you guys handling this? More and more IoT devices, Nest. I mean, we all know the stories 20, 30 years ago when they were leaving. They were using footholds in printers and putting stuff in the data stores of printers and using that as a foothold to get in. Tell us how are you addressing this stuff? Printers are obvious. Phones may not be. IoT lighting devices, LEDs may not be. Hit us up in the comments. Let us know. But Tony, you got some notable mentions for us?
I do. Jumping into our first notable mention, ironically, we're talking about updating firmware, things break, things expire. As mentioned in ArsTechnica.com, 5 years of data show that SSDs are more reliable than standard HDDs over long haul by Andrew Cunningham. Backup and cloud storage company Backblaze has published data comparing the long-term reliability of solid-state storage drives and traditional spinning hard drives in its data center. Based on the data collected since the company began using SSDs as boot drives in late 2018, Backblaze cloud storage evangelist Andy Klein published a report yesterday showing that the company's SSDs are failing at a much lower rate than its HDDs as the drives age. Speculations are that SSDs, solid-state drives, could hit a wall and begin failing at higher rates as their NAND, N-A-N-D chip, wears out. If that were the case, you'd see the lower capacity drives start failing at a higher rate than higher capacity drives, since a drive with more NAND has a higher write tolerance. For anyone who would like to take a poke at the raw data Backblaze used to generate its reports, the company has made it all available for download, which is located in our show notes.
In my notable mention, Tony gets excited for iPhones. I get excited for Windows Terminal Preview 1.16 release. As reported by Kayla Cinnamon on Microsoft.com, Windows Terminal Preview 1.16 is now available via the Microsoft Store. And based on the release notes, the update has added new features in theming and personalizing the command line's tool interface. With the addition of themes, a global property that can contain theme objects, users can now fully customize terminals via the appearance page and modify themes using a JSON file. The theme also has more colors available to make the appearance more cohesive, and the app defaults to dark mode instead of following the system's theme. The experimental release of the text rendering engine in version 1.13 has now become the default renderer for all profiles. According to the notes, the new renderer is more performant. Other customization options included in the update are for terminal tabs, tab rows, and windows. And our first feedback from the YouTubes, Jose Porra says, great show as usual. Keep up the great work. All stories were great. I, for one, love the update stories. Thank you, Jose. We appreciate it. From RMSP, Joe80x86, that's a great name. My take is, one, he doesn't get why people don't like his marketing tactics. And two, he wants to build another product and sell it for the 10 plus million this time instead of three. He's referring to the special report we'll talk about in a few seconds. And then Rye Blue user says, two is my main concern. I tried the platform, actually really like it, over Synchro even. I would move to it, but brand trust is incredibly low. If they do grow and they do take off, I feel this will very quickly become a Kaseya or other company's company. He is building to sell. And those last two bits of feedback from RMSP were in reference to yesterday's MSP Dispatch special report on SuperOps.ai's recent marketing efforts, featuring special interviews with MSP's Drew Hackworth, Matt Fox, Scott Serafin, as well as an exclusive interview with the SuperOps CEO, Arvind Partheeban. We're covering the story of SuperOps.ai and their recent marketing efforts with their flash mobs at DattoCon. We conducted interviews with MSPs, and finally, we wanted to get a word directly from the CEO and co-founder of SuperOps.ai, Mr. Arvind Partheeban. Hey, Tony, you just got back from DattoCon, but those aren't the only community events, right? What else we got coming up?
Oh, so many things. And kicking off our community events on September 16th through September 18th, an in-person event, TechCon Unplugged, Chicago, Illinois. On September 20th at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, MSP Dispatch presented by the MSP Media Network, yours truly, and the magnificent Ray Orsini. On September 22nd through the 24th, an in-person event, Big Conference 2022 in Hollywood, Florida. On the 23rd at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, the MSP Dispatch weekly wrap-up presented by the MSP Media Network. That's us. And finally, September 23rd at 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, September Channel Pitch presented by the Channel Program.
So how'd you like today's show? I loved it, and I'm going to go ahead and hit that thumbs up button. But if you didn't like it, hit the thumbs up button twice. See what happens. If you want to hear more, go and hit that subscribe button on YouTube or your favorite podcatcher. As my friend Rich Banky says, make sure to tell a friend. Also, be sure to follow us on social media at MSP Media TV or leave us a voicemail at 833-MSP Network. Have any questions? Shoot us an email, news@mspmedia.tv, for answers on the next episode. Tony, you have fun? I had fun.
Did I have fun? We opened up with Morse code through anal beads, and then we got personal command lines. Personalized command line. Come on, man. Stop. Leave some of the girls for the rest of us, man. Come on. Who could not have fun with this stuff?
All right. Since this week is one of the anniversaries of the Golden Girls, I'm going to go ahead and close with thank you for being a friend.
This has been a broadcast of the MSP Media Network.
Don't be taking notes on the clock. You better clock out with that.
Quite. It jumps on the clock. And I'm like, what is going on? What's
yeah. All right. The collective holds non-voting stock and will funnel all non-reinvested profits raised by the businesses into social and environmental.
We got to restart.
I'm sorry?
We got to restart because I put up the wrong story. That's my bad.
He was stuck on anal beads. That's why I'm telling you right now that just it f***ed everyone up. He's stuck on anal beads and he was reading this. It was just anal beads, anal beads, anal beads. That's all I heard.
Simon was ordering them. He was
He was his Amazon search says anal beads. Wait, hold on. Anal beads with Morse code possibilities.
And you see why I don't pull up the stories anymore, right? In our top story, Patagonia CEO gives away a $3 billion company. As reported by EDIE.net, a reporter Sarah George reports for reports, 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 reports. Let me do that one more time. Lawrence Ransomware. In our third.
I watched the look over the person next to you, the imaginary person. What? Why are you doing this to me? Why are you doing this to me? Like,
I could hear my brain like that hamster just stopped, like the wheel stopped. It's like nothing is gonna happen right now. Just take a break. So, jeez, so special. All right, come on, hamster, let's go. Also, be sure to follow us on... Blah, blah,
blah, blah, blah. We got to do community events.
So ignore me. It doesn't matter. I don't care what you say. Yeah.
All right. Tony, you can turn on the camera and then we'll do it.
You can't tell me what to do. All right.
Turn on your camera, Tony. And get some water, please.
And since this week marks an anniversary of the Golden Ghoul...
Emotional, damn it.
I was so close. We were this close out. I could see the door. I saw the finish line. I was right there, but my nipples were chafed and my feet were tired. And oh,
we go from anal beads to nipples. This is horrible. There we go.
Yeah.